every once in a while, I feel like I need to take up for God. Now, the truth is God doesn't need to be defended. And Kirk has taught us well that God will even let himself be misrepresented. He'll let himself be misrepresented because he doesn't have anything to prove. But today is sort of a warning. You know, we want to be careful because sometimes we can accidentally get to a place we didn't intend to get. We can accidentally do something stupid that we didn't intend to do. I was reading some product warnings. You know, Superman costume, you know there's a warning on it that says this costume does not enable flight or superior strength? Do you know that there's some cocktail napkins, and on them they say this, not to be used for navigation. I'm like, excuse me? Do you know that hair dryers say this? One hair dryer, do not operate in the shower or while sleeping. If you can operate your hair dryer while sleeping, that's a trick that I would like to see. Okay, chainsaw, do not attempt to stop blade with hands. Okay, and so there's warnings. And every once in a while, we need to be warned. And so things happen to us in our walk as Christians that sometimes we don't plan on or even purposely decide. Things just happen around us. And by default, if we're around anything long enough, it has a tendency to get in us, to get on us, or to get all over us. And it affects us or changes us in some way. It does. Now, this can work for good. I truly believe that if you come here long enough, you get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that you'll get more tuned in to the flow of God. I truly believe that you'll begin to hear God's voice in a clearer way. I believe that. But sometimes we become unaware or oblivious of how it might work against us. And so if we are truly desiring a biblical result in a Christ-like mindset, we've got to be vigilant or we will fall prey to the strategies of the enemy. Ezekiel 3:9 says this, make their foreheads like flint so they will not be afraid of this rebellious people. Make their foreheads like flint. Now, if our foreheads are like flint, that's not harder than a diamond, but it's harder than a rock, okay? And you go, oh, I know some people like that. They are really hard-headed. They are hard-headed. But see, God was not meaning this. The real meaning here is that if our foreheads are like flint, they will be like a shield. And thus, they're protecting us from arrows and darts and weapons and things that try to come toward us. Just living in our city, living in our country, living just being around people, things are coming at you all the time. Their words are coming at you. Their thoughts are coming at you. Their philosophy. Watch TV. The advertisement, it's coming at you. It's trying to get in you. It is. And it's trying to get on you and all over you. But see, my translation is, if your forehead is like flint, guess what? Things bounce off of us instead of getting into us. All right? And so there can be accusations that come our way. There can be criticism. There can be offense. There can be catty remarks. There can be little insults. There can be people rolling their eyes at you. See, all that might be around you. But it can also mean, on a larger scale, ideologies, philosophies, common to our culture, or common in our nation, or in our society, at any given point in time. And those two get inside us. They do. You live here. You're not in a bubble. They get in you. There are things that are even commonly preached, but preach to those geared to have itching ears, wanting their ears tickled, wanting to hear what they want to hear. And many things that have become very common now that were not common at all in preaching 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. I've been teaching the Bible since 1979. Some people in the room have done it longer than I have. But you know what? Things have changed. But if you don't know how they've changed, you don't know what to resist or what to accept. And there is a hyper-grace message that was prevalent a while back. There was a hyper-prosperity message. Now, we believe that your soul should prosper and you should be in health, even as your soul prospers, but that you should prosper even as your soul prospers, but not hyper-prosperity. Because you know why? God's not hyper anything. He's not hyper. He's not hyper. And see, now there's this new fad, hyper-tolerance, hyper-acceptance, hyper-love, but no truth. The politically correct movement, you know, I call it puny Christian, but the politically correct movement, PC, okay, is trying to replace Christian faith with a moral ideology that says no one can even state the obvious for fear that exposing or expressing truth is disturbing to somebody. Saying the truth is disturbing to somebody around you all the time. People should go around and wear a sign on their heads, do not disturb. I'm disturbed by that. I'm disturbed because you, I'm disturbed because you believe. I'm disturbed because your pastor said that. I'm disturbed. Well, we think you're disturbed too, but we want God to put you at rest. And so there is an insidious effort to blur and then annihilate the truth. Joe Battaglia wrote this book that I read many years ago. I loved it. It was called The Politically Incorrect Jesus, okay? And he states that political correctness asks us to commit intellectual suicide by assenting to what we actually don't even believe. And it tries to make the teachings of Jesus palatable so that we can relate to more people. No, it wants us to become like the world. And so it adds on things to truth so that it becomes error. See, if you add on enough stuff to a truth, that truth is no longer even true. It becomes error. Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan came with a truth, but he added on. And the add-on brought him into error. Do you know that diversity is really close to God's heart? He made us all unique. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. No two snowflakes are alike. Even identical twins are not really identical. You know that? But biblical diversity and politically correct diversity are miles apart. Political correctness interprets diversity as justifying behaviors that Jesus wouldn't accept. Political correctness interprets diversity as inclusiveness. You know, Jesus wasn't inclusive. He wasn't. He said this: wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. That doesn't sound like he's accepting it doesn't sound very tolerant. It doesn't even sound nice. But he said it. The only thing that Jesus was inclusive about was the love of the Father for all mankind. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That includes me and you. We're included there. See, there's inclusiveness where we may not ask for it, but then sometimes where we want it, he's like, no, that's not for you. Come on over here. Jesus does not accept that all lifestyles and all roads lead in the same direction toward God. He accepts all people, but not all lifestyles. He doesn't accept all belief systems. He doesn't accept all ideas. He doesn't even accept my opinion most of the time. Every Christian is bombarded daily with propaganda to make sure they do not commit the current cultural equivalent of the unpardonable sin. Unpardonable sin, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Sort of hard to do, but you can do it. But I don't know very many people who have. But today, there's an unpardonable sin in society: offending someone. Offending someone. But everybody is offended so easily. It's like they walk around waiting to be offended, waiting to be offended. The offense police are everywhere. I think that's going to offend them. If you preach like that, that's going to, if you speak in tongues during the service out loud, that's going to offend them. If you give a prophetic word to those people, that's going to offend them. If you go to Algeria, that is going to offend them. And then we have the problem that the very preaching of the gospel is offensive, but the Bible says it is. And so, yeah, but somebody can go, so you're saying I'm not good, but I'm actually bad? I'm going, no, I'm just saying you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And actually, I'm quoting God. That's not even my opinion. See, if we say what God says, it sounds rough. But there's a beauty to the response God will bring if you'll just accept what he says. And so in our culture, to make it less offensive, people now use the gospel with add-ons. They don't want to knock the gospel out of their life. They want it. They want everything. But they just do an add-on. You know, I was trying to buy this bomb, this coloring bomb for my car. I have a little 2007. Yes, I have an 18. My car's going to be 19 this year. Okay, you're 19? You're going to be. My car is going to be. My car is going to be 19 on June 30th. Okay, that's what I'm about. So you in my car, all right? And I'm not giving you my car, but you and my car are the same age. People go, why don't you get rid of your car? No. The new cars, you close the trunk, they sound like a tin can. Mine sounds solid. Okay, my door wells, when Alan and I were looking at cars for me, Julia, I'd hit the door well with my not knuckles to see if it felt soft. The door well, you know, on the side of your... I like solidness, and my little car is solid. But after 18 years, only the driver's seat, because you can't sit in the back seat. It's practically a two-seater car. The passenger seat is not used so often, but my driver's seat shows some wear in the leather. So I see on Facebook a thing pops up that I can get this leather bomb, and they show the before and after, and I can make my leather look like new. And then I look on their website, and I look at the reviews. I don't know if the reviews are made up. I really can't tell that stuff. I have to have, like, an internet spy to help me figure it all out, like what's a bot and what's a this and what's a fake, you know, Facebook profile, and that's not a real thing and that's not a real review. But I read all this stuff. I'm like, this is good. And I thought, well, I'm going to email the company because they have several selections, and I can get just the leather balm. Mine's not in terrible condition. I think I can just smear the balm on there and buff it out. But then they have this thing where you have to get the deglazer and the something prepper and then the balm and then the buffer. And I'm like, and that's expensive. So I emailed them, and I said, you know, my car's not in really bad shape. I sent them a little picture. I go, if I just get the balm, will that be okay? $29.95, I'll do that. And the whole kit was like 100 and something. And they write me back, thank you so much for writing. Yes, 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 we saw the picture of your car. Just the balm will be just fine. And I'm like, great. So I go on, I order the balm, I pay for it, and a little pop-up comes. The balm will not work unless you properly deglaze it. And today only, we will give you the deglazer for the special price of $29.95, you know, if you order within the next 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she said I didn't need to do the, all right, I don't want it to not, they said it will not absorb. I don't want it to not absorb, so click $29.95. Okay, it charges me, and then a little pop-up. Unless you use the special prep, I'm like, what? Okay, it was cheaper, so I said yes. Then another one came up. I'm like, that's it. Okay, I emailed the company. I said, I just ordered a balm, a deglazer, and it's something else. You lied to me. I said, I go. I have the email that says I did not need it. I expect you to, I'm calling my credit card company right now. I expect you to credit my account now. They write back at me, it is already shipped. I go, it is not already shipped. You are lying to me. You cannot ship this in 5 minutes. Okay, I sparred back and forth, and I got a credit. All right, and so... but there's add-ons. Add-ons to everything, add-ons. And so every sinful behavior, every deviant lifestyle, every musical genre, no matter how violent the lyrics or hateful the lyrics or deviant the lyrics, if they win an award at the music at the MTV, I just want to thank God for my award, and I just want to praise my Lord and Savior Jesus. Did you hear what you just sang, and you're praising your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Wait. It says, blessing and cursing ought not to come out of the same mouth, brothers. Something's wrong here. And so it's like they're wanting to say, I accept this award, and my acknowledgement of him shows that I believe he's accepting what I do. But that does not translate into he accepts what you're doing, just because you're saying that. He loves you too much to leave you like that, is my sentence I tell everybody. They go, well, doesn't he love me? Yes, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. And so... see, we have these people speaking things like, there's so much mixture. There's just so much mixture. It's another gospel. See, it's not the real gospel. It's not the gospel. But they're saying, oh, my gospel record. But your gospel record has a lot of weird stuff in it. Okay, and so there's a lot of mixture going on, and I want to warn you not to fall for it. Because there's a lot of gospels out there, but you need the one in this book. The one in this book. Now, the add-on gospel, you can add on a lot of things. You can add on works. You can add on works. You can add on Jesus to your deviant lifestyle. I've had people in a full-blown homosexual lifestyle, but they're telling me how much they love the Lord. I go, I get that you love the Lord, but that should translate into you want to push away from that sin. It doesn't mean you have victory. It doesn't mean that you got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that it's even easy, but it means you want to. Because if the King of Kings is living in you, you want to. add on Jesus to my opinions and call it the gospel. See, add on Jesus to other beliefs. Add on Jesus to my holy yoga, which isn't holy. See, add on Jesus to my Muslim, add on Jesus to all my stuff. Add on Jesus to my weird books I read, okay? And so mixture is the opposite of refining and purifying. And Jesus comes in and he refines us and he purifies us. And the love of mixture is a hindrance to transform the transforming power of Jesus Christ that actually wants to work in your life. And so mixture can come in many packages. The Bible says we are to love what God loves. We're to hate what God hates. He loves me, but he does not necessarily love everything I do. And so Paul begins to address this problem with the Galatians. And he says this, and Dan, I want to ask you to put up Galatians 1, 6 through 8 in a minute. I might even read it out of three translations, which is not like me. But Paul is astonished. You know, like sometimes I'm astonished that people like, I go, wait, you're trying to convince me that you really love God, but you're doing this too? You're trying to convince me that you really love God, but you want to transition? You're trying to convince, yes, you're trying to convince me that you really love God, but you're married and you say that you're supposed to divorce her because there's this other girl you like? You're saying that you really love God, but you think it's okay to have a girlfriend on the side? Really? Okay, people have told me, and they want me to approve. And they want God to approve. But they're not hearing from him, so if they hear it from me, it'll make them feel better. But Paul ran into the same problem, Galatians 1. He tells the Galatians, he goes, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. A different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if we, or even if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let's go to the New Living. Paul, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself. Through the loving mercy of Christ, you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled. What's behind me? Is that mine? Okay. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one preached to you. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be accursed. Let's go to the NIV. And I'll read it off the screen. I am astonished. He was shocked. He marveled. And now, and now he's astonished. You get the drift, right? You got this. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. And you are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. That's the title of this message, no gospel, not the gospel. On a half a sermon called Not the Gospel. Maybe somebody will listen to it and it'll help them. But it's really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and they are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. That's fine. So Paul expresses his shock, his marvel, and his astonishment over an inconceivable turn of events. The Galatian believers were in the process of turning away. The word there is desert. That's a military term, a Greek term, like a military desertion. They were deserting the truth. Part of his amazement is that it was happening so quickly. You'd be shocked how quickly people, Dan and Alicia, what's the percentage you told me the people that graduated from Christ for the Nations, how many are no longer serving God? About 50%. You save money, you send your kids to Bible college. Oh, this is like so exciting, and my child graduated from Bible college, but they're not serving God right now. 50%, how quickly we can turn away. Who you associate with and who you're around makes a difference. Y'all are okay, right, because you're here. But see, who you begin to, they go back to their old unsaved friends, and instead of them being the light, they just get pulled into the dark. And so he's amazed it was happening so quickly. Well, how long does it happen once you leave church? You leave church on a Sunday. How long are you really okay? How long is what coming out of your mouth what you were saying in church? See, how quickly can we go in a different direction? And so soon after the false teachers began their propaganda, the people began falling for it. Their departure was not simply from a system of theology, but from God himself. From God himself. And in exchange, they were embracing a different gospel, not the gospel. One that was false. And it was false because for the Galatians, it added works to faith. And it is not the same gospel by which they were saved, adding works to faith. It was saying man had to add works to be saved. It was a gospel of legalism. A gospel of like making the work of Christ on the cross not enough, not sufficient. I got to do my thing to be okay. Now, God will make you okay. That transforming will come. Transformation will come. You will operate more and more and more in his image, but you don't have to do these works to be okay. That's the judgment gospel. So what I'm hearing today, though, as opposed to what the Galatians were doing, is not that we have to add works. It's sometimes that Jesus has to add works. A performance clause, if you will. Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, do that for me. Jesus, this is what I need, and I need it by the end of the week. Because if not, I'm just going to go crazy because I just can't wait very long for stuff. Because, Jesus, if you don't do it, then I guess you don't really love me, and then I don't know if I can believe in you. You see? We put him to the test. Because it's a different gospel. And so there's mixture that can come in all kinds of ways. And we need to adhere, to stick like glue, to the words in our Bible and let them become flesh in us so that we do not get mixed up by the words that we're hearing in the world. Now, maybe you're not operating in mixture. And maybe you've just gotten mixed up occasionally by the add-on Jesus propaganda or agenda. But what I don't want you to be mixed up about is what we are called to do and the mandate over our lives and this house. And we have said, you've heard it said many times, we have a mandate for a healing revival. Well, can we produce a healing revival? Absolutely not. We can't make that happen. You can't make a revival happen. One time my husband was preaching and he shocked everybody, but he tended to do that a lot. And I loved it. He was outrageous. And he just got a cup of water, and he just poured it on the front rug. And I'm like, is that going to dry? And he goes, let's watch by the end of my sermon and see if that's still there. Sometimes that's how revival is. A little water pours out, but it doesn't last very long. And by the end of my sermon, watch, it's going to be dried up. And it was. And so there are little services like, woo, this is exciting, this is exciting. But how long does it last? How long does it stay? See, a little bit of water. You drink from the fountain a little bit, a cup of water, Julia, it lasts till the end of the service. But if we keep drinking from the fountain, if we go back in, if we know there's enough for everybody and not just for me, there's enough for you. And if we go, oh, I have enough for me, but I'm going to keep drinking because my neighbor needs something. See, then that water doesn't dry up. It keeps pouring out. And so we need a healing revival. I'm nearly 74. I was lifting weights in my bedroom, and I'm doing my little bicep curls, and there's this little popping sound in my elbow, and I'm like, that's interesting, and I just keep lifting, thinking it's an interesting sound. And I'm like, I wonder what that's about, and Cammie knows I'm just medically ignorant, and I just keep hearing the popping, but I go ahead and finish all my reps, and 2 days later, my elbow is so sore, and it hurts that I've been putting ice packs on it and doing weird things. Okay, we need a healing revival for a lot of reasons. That's the least of them, okay? Oh, how we need it. And see, when we go out ministering in our outreaches, people are going to get healed. Okay? Because that's part of the gospel. But God has said it, and we are contending for what he promised. But guess what? We also need a revival of holiness. We need a revival of people who are selfless. We need a revival of people who are ready to lay down their lives on the altar of God. A revival of people who value obedience but not legalism. A revival of people who will burn brightly wherever they go in the dark, and they will be the light. See, we need a revival of people like that. Not a gospel of self-indulgent, but of extravagant love for God. Love for God. That's the revival we want. This week, God told me, look up two words. And so I looked him up, and he goes, look at the difference between dedication and consecration. dedication, and consecration. Dedication is setting something apart for a specific purpose. You know, you dedicate a church building. We dedicated Ella. we dedicate babies, but you'll dedicate a church building. Or we had that well in Africa, and I'm sure they had like a dedication type service for the well. And so you dedicate it and you say, it's for a certain purpose. You know, this is, we're gonna say, we're gonna pray God over this. And, you know, but consecration is a deeper, more permanent spiritual act of making something holy, transforming its very essence for exclusive divine use. Some of us are dedicated and now we need to get consecrated. Some of us said we're set apart, but now we need to go deeper. A more permanent spiritual act of letting the holiness of God be formed on the inside of you, transforming your very essence for exclusive divine use. God, I'm yours. You can use me. I'm not going to let the world use me. I'm not going to let the devil use me, not use my mouth, not use my actions, I'm going to let you use me, God, in all that I do. I'm going to go from dedication to consecration. It's a little more serious. You know, when we saw that well on the screen that we showed 3-4 weeks ago, and we saw the water springing up out of it, the well that we all gave into in honor of Easy and of Alan. If you're new here, my husband of 47 years passed away in May. Julia's husband of 17 months, who was like our son, our worship leader on staff for 20-some-odd years, our executive pastor, he also passed away. They both in a 3-week period. And so there was a well in Africa at an orphanage because Alan loved orphanages and Easy loved to drill wells in other countries for those who had no water. And they did both. And so we have a well at an orphanage in their honor. But let me tell you how we can really honor them. We go from dedication to consecration because we need a well in Sugar Land. We need a real well in Sugar Land, in Fort Bend County, the very well that Easy prophesied would come, that Alan championed. That is how we honor them, a well coming out of this place. How do we get that well? We take a sip of living water. How do we go? We go to the fountain that never runs dry. We go to the fountain and we go back to the fountain and we keep going into the fountain. We don't let go of the fountain. We don't forget about going to the fountain. We don't get so dry that we need our friends to lay hands on us because we haven't been at the fountain. We go to the fountain and we go to the fountain so that we're so filled up that in us there is a well and it springs forth, spring up a well. And it makes the people around us, those who are thirsty and dry, they get the real gospel, not the no gospel, not the not a gospel, not the other gospel, but the real gospel, the good news that Jesus loves them. And then we don't even have to talk to them about their lifestyles. If they get the real Jesus, their lifestyle begins to change. Stand to your feet with me. Father, this morning, we desire to be your people. Lord, you say that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Where's that water come from? Lord, let it come out of you and let it come out of me. Let the water come out of you and let the water come out of me. No longer, God, will people around us go, oh, I live in a dry and thirsty land, because we will provide the water, the water of life, the living water that never runs dry. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, for every person that desires to step from dedication to consecration, that this morning that transaction takes place even now. Father, even as we give our yes to go from dedication to consecration, that we set ourselves aside for your divine use, that you would make us holy, that, Lord, we would be able to drink from that fountain and what you put in us doesn't run out, doesn't leak out, that you heal the broken areas of our hearts and our souls, that you heal the places where the opinions of man and the words of man have caused cracks in our vessel. God, that we would be vessels meet for the master's use, meet for the master's use. Filled with living water so that we can pour it out everywhere we go. Lord, we thank you for transformation first for us and then for those around us. And so we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree, say amen. Amen.